experiencing these extreme colds, our hearts do go out to all of y'all.
Absolutely.
Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving. And remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.
Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KABU. Consider adding KABU to your will, or add KABU as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change. But recognizing KABU along with your family and friends in your legacy giving is a powerful commitment to media justice. Let us know if you add KABU to your plans. We'd like to thank you for your considerate future gift. Contact us at 503-231-8032 or email development@kabu.fm to notify us of your plans.
Good evening and welcome to Trans Positive. Tonight we're going to be talking about Transgender Day of Visibility. We have a special guest, the founder of TDEV, Rachel Crandall. Did I say your name right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, perfect. Let's introduce ourselves real quick. I'm Nicolette and I use AM pronouns.
I'm okay. Jean. I'm Jean and I use she, her pronouns.
I'm Emma. I use she and her pronouns.
And I also use she and her pronouns.
Welcome, Rachel.
Welcome. It is so great to have you here, Rachel. I think, you know, it's really important to talk about Trans Day of Visibility right now, especially with everything going on in the community. Right now, we've just had a couple bills introduced in, I think, Minnesota and Florida, some very anti-trans legislation. It even particularly threatened to fine and even jail children for being trans or intersex. You know, and of course, we've got this whole super straight thing going on, which is really just transphobes trying to justify their transphobia and mock our community, you know. And, you know, but in more positive news, we've had a Dr. Rachel Levine, I think is her name.
Levine.
Levine, yeah, Dr. Rachel Levine. Maybe I was thinking of Laverne Cox. Yes, Dr. Rachel Levine, you know, in more positive news, was chosen by President Biden to be, what was it,
I think it's Assistant Secretary of Health.
Yeah, the Assistant Secretary of Health. Yeah. So I guess, you know, first thing I wanted to ask Rachel, I mean, we will get into why T-Dub is so important, but why don't you start by telling us about yourself and why and how you started T-Dub?
Okay. I am also a psychotherapist, and I started T-Dub back in 2009 because I really wanted a day that we could all come together and we could celebrate exactly who we were. There really wasn't a day yet. And I was really surprised that there wasn't a day. All that there was the Day of Remembrance, which is when we remember our brothers and sisters who were killed just for being trans. However, I really wanted a day that we could focus on the living. And one late night on Facebook, excuse me, I made the Day of Visibility. And I was thinking that, well, maybe a few people would like it. I wasn't aware it would actually become an international movement. I think as transgender people, we were really wanting a day that we could all be together and that we could all be proud for being trans, a day that was just ours. And that's exactly how I started it.
Well, wonderful. Thank you. So yeah, why don't we start talking now about why Trans Day of Visibility is so important? Why don't you go first and just tell us, you know, what it means to you and why you think it's so important?
Oh, wow. It's important to be able to appreciate who we are and to be able to be visible if we want to, and as a community to all come together one day every year and to say, we're here and we are trans and we are celebrating it. Up until then, there was an awful lot of loneliness, and there still is a lot of loneliness. However, I wanted there to be one day that we didn't have to be lonely. I wanted one day that we could all be together, and we will know that around the world, trans people are celebrating.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, like you said, we've got T-Dor, the Trans Day of Remembrance, which is really more about mourning, and that is definitely important too. But yes, I think it's also important to have a more positive side too, a day to celebrate who we are.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
now Trans Day of Visibility has just become this like really big thing. I remember when I first saw it in I think 2011 or 2012. Although I have to admit, like at first I thought it was a Portland thing.
Yeah,
I thought there must be some activists from Portland that thought of this, because Portland like has so many transgender people. And it was only a couple of years later I found out it was actually an international movement, just like TDOR was. But it says here on Wikipedia that it's celebrated in hundreds of places annually now. And you're the person who started this, Rachel. You started this whole movement for like changing the dialogue from just talking about, you know, which we really do have to talk, of course, about all of the transgender people who are killed and murdered.
Oh,
and the
yes.
people who, you know, because that is a very real issue in our lives. And we've had Gwendolyn May on before on Transpositive talking about TDOR and why she started TDOR. But
wonderful.
We need a balance to that too. We really need to also acknowledge like all of our joy. There's another way that people kind of use this language. They say that rather than just talking about gender dysphoria, we have to talk about gender euphoria.
You know, oh my God, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
All the ways
that is
in which
very true. Yeah, and it reminds me of this discussion that I saw recently online where people were questioning, you know, why trans medicalists are so insistent that if you don't have gender dysphoria, you can't possibly be trans. And you know, in my belief and a lot of other people's beliefs, it's because we want to associate being trans with pain, with something that is bad. Yes. And it's not something that is bad. It is something that is beautiful and can be a very good and normal thing.
Exactly.
And so that's why I think, you know, we need to also acknowledge the positive side of being trans and, you know, celebrate it instead of looking at it as this horrible affliction or something.
Right. Right. And it really is a wonderful thing. It really, being trans is beautiful. And we have a right to celebrate it.
Very much so. So Rachel, what are some of the things that people do to celebrate Trans Day of Visibility? I'm reading, in preparing for this interview, I remembered that like one of the things that we encourage people to do on Transgender Day of Visibility, at least when I first heard about it, was to like post online selfies on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, share their stories and statistics. It's basically designed to raise awareness and visibility that trans people exist and we're here to celebrate. Is that some of your intention when you started Transgender Day of Visibility?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And rather than to tell everyone exactly what they had to do, I wanted to leave it up to each group and individual. Some organizations have open mics. Some organizations have coffees. Some organizations make a whole transgender visibility week. I wanted people to put their own flair on it rather than to tell people, well, you have to do this and you have to do that.
Thank you. Jean, you've been kind of quiet so far. Do you have any questions for Rachel?
Yes. Rachel, when you kind of gave your quick bio earlier, one of the things that I was wondering is, you know, where you're located and what effect that may have had on your activism. Because I observed that you're in Michigan, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, now, you know, this So I'm wondering if there is some linkage, historical linkage, in your lived experience to the Michigan Women's Festival and Camp Trans and all of that, you know, trans history in the context of the broader LGBT experience. Is there any connection there?
There is a small connection, yes. It all went to create my wanting for a day, a safe day, that we could all come out everywhere. And with the Women's Festival, as you know, we were not really accepted there. And I think that the feeling that a lot of trans people in Michigan felt, that they really were not accepted anywhere. And I really wanted a day that we were accepted everywhere. And that's exactly why I started it.
And then, okay, a second question then, Rachel, which I think really tears to the point you've been making. For those who don't have the same lived experience as those of us in the age bracket that you and I are in, you know, why do we need something different than Pride? Okay, why did you feel we needed something other than Pride celebrations?
I love Pride, okay? I go to many, many, many prides every year. However, I wanted a day that was just ours. I wanted a day that we could really shout out and we could be the creator and the host of our own day. It isn't that I don't like Pride. I love Pride. I really party on Pride. However, I wanted a day that was only ours.
Well, I'll share that, you know, Emma as well, you know, we've worked here in Portland and always have a march the day before the Pride Parade here in Portland that is the trans march. So we've also, you know, chosen to carve out a specific day and context, even within the context of Pride,
right,
to basically
the same
represent
in San Francisco.
Our specific interests. So we certainly, you know, understand, you know, those principles. Thank you for that, you know, little exploration back in history and kind of how we got to where we are in the broader context of the you know, the broader umbrella of LGBTIQ.
In San Francisco they do the same thing. I remember when like the trans rights movement was really like gaining a lot of steam in the Bay Area in the early 2000s, they started doing like they did a trans march in San Francisco like long before we ever started ours in Portland. But they did it like in late August. They did it in some time like that was completely separate from Pride. And it was because they wanted to like have something that was really, you know, like separate. And
exactly.
It sounds like they started at about the same time you were starting Transgender Day of Visibility, Rachel. Like,
oh, cool. You know, these
conversations, I guess, have been going on for a long time all around the country. I'm sorry.
Oh, Gina, yeah. Yes. It wasn't that I came up with an idea that no one else had. I think a lot of us were wanting a day, and I wanted it to be an international day. I wanted it to be a day that we will know that people even in Israel and Russia are also celebrating it.
Right, thank you. We're talking tonight with Rachel. Is it Rachel Crandall Crocker or is it Rachel?
Yes.
Yeah, tonight we're talking with Rachel Crandall Crocker, the founder of Transgender Day of Visibility here on Transpositive. Transgender Day of Visibility is on March 31st, and it's an international day of celebration for transgender folks. It's a day to be visible, to tell our stories, to post selfies, to talk about all of the ways in which like we're proud of being transgender. And we're really honored today to have Rachel, who's the founder of that, on our show. And really glad for Nicolette, who kind of got this whole idea started this month. Nicolette, now you're doing something for Transgender Day Visibility too, aren't you, with Transpose?
Yes. For people who are wondering what Transpose is, it's a transgender community choir here in Portland. And our director wrote a song for Trans Day of Visibility called Rise Up, Stay Loud. We'll hopefully be playing that here on the show. Yeah. And so, you know, this song is basically supposed to be our protest song and our pride song, you know, stating that we will fight against the injustice that is imposed on trans people all over the world. And so this song, it's not just Transpose, but a bunch of trans choirs around the country, we're all getting together to sing this song together. And it's going to be posted in a YouTube video on March 31st, TDove. And that actually reminds me, I wanted to pose a couple questions to each of you, because in this video, we had a couple of prompts that we were asked to give our answer to, and that's going to be included in the video along with the song. The first question, this is one of the questions anyway, but it's the one I want to start with. What does visibility mean to you? And I'll give my answer. I said that to me, visibility means that I am free to be who I am, and I'm not scared to show the world who I am. And you know, I'm not gonna conform to what society tells me to be, because I don't fit in their little boxes and I don't have to. So I'd like to hear from each of you, what does visibility mean to you?
That's a great question. Let's start with our guest, Rachel, the founder of Transgender Day of Visibility. What does visibility mean to you, Rachel?
Oh, it means being free to be who we are and not having to worry. It means being happy and being joyful. It means being proud. And the reason why I created Visibility Day is because I wanted a day that we could be happy and joyful all around the world all at one time. So that's what it means to me.
Thank you. What about you, Jean?
One, try to live my life so that I'm happy every day, and not to take away from that basic theme here, but no, to me, it means to show our strength, our unity and our strength.
Thank you. Can I answer your question, Nicolette?
Yes, I'd like to ask each of you.
Oh, sure, thanks. So for me, being visible means it's like, for me, it's about being like part of the cultural narrative. So I feel like visibility is about like, if I look on television and I see that there's trans kids on television, and if there's trans folks who are represented in elected office, you know, they're serving in elected office at state, local, and national levels, if I have transgender neighbors, if there's transgender folks that are in my mythology or within like my cultural tradition of my religion or my personal belief system, you know, so for me, being visible means like getting the idea that there are transgender people that exist into like all of the ways in which we understand that people exist, you know, in our belief systems, in our schools, in our elected offices, in the media, in our neighborhoods, you know. To me, that's what being visible means. And I feel like we're really making a lot of steps in this country toward that. I mean, it's amazing to me how like in the last 20 years, there's been this explosion of this whole like group of people that's always existed, but like for the longest time wasn't visible. And now we're becoming more visible. We're becoming part of the fabric of the cultural narrative. And right. To me, that's what being visible means.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so the next question, you know, from the T-Dub video, which I would also like to ask all of you what it means to you. Since the song that we're singing is called Rise Up, Stay Loud, what does rising up and staying loud mean for you?
Ooh.
Do you want to answer that first, Nicolette?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I was going to say what I said first, but if you want to go first, you can go ahead.
Oh, no, why don't you go first, Nicolette?
Okay, so I said that for me, rising up and staying loud means I will not be silenced or erased. I will keep fighting for the rights and equality we deserve. And I won't stop until all of us are free from oppression. So why don't you go ahead, Emma?
Okay. So for me, what does it mean to rise up and stay loud? Yeah, it means that there's going to be a trans march every year until we have all of our rights. It means that every time that someone gets assaulted in a bathroom or there's another transgender murder, that we're gonna like protest. And it means that until trans kids can like, you know, do athletics and use the locker room that is appropriate for them, and until like there's no religions that are telling us that we're wrong, that we're just gonna keep on pushing. We're gonna push and push and push because we have our rights and we're not gonna let anyone take those rights away from us. How about you, Rachel? What does it mean to you?
It means being loud and not caring if others don't accept us. It means rising up all over the world and saying loudly, we are here and this is what we are, and we have a right to be loud about it.
Thank you. And what about you, Jean?
Oh, well, I meant to give our guest the last word on the question. No, to me, it means not only that we're loud, I think the rise up piece of this has to do with owning and controlling the narrative, because Lord knows we are quite visible in media in almost every place these days. It's not, you know, the year 2000 or 1990. And so how we do that, the being loud, I'm going to dissect that, is we have to put out enough counter media and presence, personally, media-wise, government-wise. So that's the activist in me. We have to be focused about being loud, about that volume. Volume alone isn't going to convince anybody.
Thank you. Would you mind if I ask our guest a couple of questions, Nicolette?
Go right ahead.
Oh, great. Thank you. So, Rachel, we've had a chance to hear a lot about the Transgender Day of Visibility, which is really great, but we haven't had a chance to talk about Rachel Crandall Crocker, the person. And if you're all right with it, I'd like to hear a little bit about your coming out story, if you feel like sharing it. We'd like to hear, you know, how did you become Rachel Crandall Crocker?
Oh, sure. Well, I originally tried to come out when I was only 8 years old. I tried to come out to my mom and dad, and let's say they were not happy about it. They said that was the dirtiest thing in the world, and that I should never say it out loud again. So I went in the closet for 25 years. Then in my 30s, it was like it was knocking on me from inside. And I felt like I had to be Rachel, and that was pretty awkward because I was married at the time to a woman, and our marriage did not last very long after that. And right about that same time, I was fired from my job. I was a psychotherapist in a small town hospital. And they kicked me right out. And so I knew I had to do something. And right then is when I came up with the idea for Transgender Michigan. I was going out of my mind and I felt so helpless. I needed to do something. So that's exactly what I did.
Wow, that's quite a story. So you're the director of Transgender Michigan, is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. And that's just such a heartbreaking story, though, that, you know, you and your wife separated at that time. I don't know if that was because of your coming out, but it sounds like that had a lot to do with it. And then
Yes. You
also lost your job, and you didn't say specifically, but did you lose your job in part because of your transitioning?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
But you're still a therapist, right? You still run private practice.
Yes.
Yeah. And now you have an So you, out of the bitterness of these experiences, of this rejection that so many transgender people experience, I mean, we lose our jobs, we lose our spouses, we lose our families, sometimes we lose our places where we live. You took that, the bitterness of that experience, and you transformed it into something really positive, and also a source of allyship for the community. That's really amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I guess that now that you're the director of Transgender Michigan, you have an opportunity to outreach to other people who might be going through a similar situation as what you went through.
Oh, yes. I created a helpline, and that was all the way back in 97, and I'm told it was the first transgender helpline, and we're still going strong.
That's great. Wow. We could do a whole show just about your transgender helpline.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So when you start, this was like even before, this was like almost before the internet. This is like going way back.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, it was.
Wow. Yeah. When people, I remember that. Yeah. Like when, I mean, if you wanted to find out about transgender stuff, you had to pick up the phone and call someone.
Right.
Yeah.
And, wow. And that's exactly why I created a helpline. I wanted a number that people could call, and there would actually be another trans person they can talk to.
Thank you. It looks like Jean has a question.
Yes, and I don't want to steal this from Nicolette, so I'll keep it really simple. Given your long history, and so I'd like to hear about you know, your experience now and your observations around the non-binary, you know, aspects of our umbrella, you know, identity as or the terminology of trans. And how does that affect, in your mind, TDOV?
I think it's all wonderful. I'm all supporter for people just to be who and what they are. Whether they call themselves trans or not, I just want to accept everyone. No one really talked about being non-binary back in 97, or I would have added it. I'm all supportive for people to be exactly who and what they are.
Thank you. Nicolette, how do you feel about that issue about non-binary identities within Transgender Day of Visibility and within the broader discussion of transgender identity?
Yeah, I mean, obviously as a non-binary person myself, I think that it's also important for us to be recognized and to be visible, especially since we're still at a point in human history and in society where non-binary isn't very well recognized. We're just starting to come out of the woodworks, and we're still having so many people refusing to acknowledge that we even exist.
Right.
And that's why I think, you know, it's also so important for non-binary people to celebrate T-Dub and put ourselves out there and be visible as well.
Right, right, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I would like to ask you a couple questions, kind of backtracking a little bit. You were talking about Transgender Michigan and the Trans Helpline, and I would like to hear more about what these things are.
Okay. Transgender Michigan is the statewide trans group. We started with a calendar that we passed out at special events, and it was only like half a page long. Right now, it's so long we can't even print it out. We then created the helpline, and the speakers bureau, and then special events. Every summer, we have a transgender pride in the park, and the last time we were able to have it as a result of the pandemic, it wasn't this past summer. We actually had 300 of us there. Now, for the helpline, a lot of people call and say, I've never told anyone this in the world, but I think I'm trans. And so very often we are the first contact. Also, we get calls from parents who say, my child came out and I don't know what to do. And we get calls from therapists and case managers in corporations and churches. We are really the one place to go for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it sounds like you've founded a number of really wonderful things, Rachel.
I think so, yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. We're talking with Rachel Crandall Crocker, the founder of Transgender Day of Visibility. Transgender Day of Visibility is celebrated on March 31st internationally. And it's a day to celebrate and uplift the voices of transgender folks. It's a day to post selfies online, to tell your coming out story, to let everybody know how transfabulous you are. And we're really honored to have Rachel on. This has been going on since 2009. Was that when it started, Rachel?
Yes.
And it's become a big international movement. And we're so grateful for Nicolette to bringing this to our attention for the show this week.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Nicolette.
Thank you. Thank all of you for joining me on this. This is turning out to be a wonderful show, and I'm really excited to be doing this.
So, Rachel, we have just a few minutes left in the show. Can you tell us about some of the people and organizations that like are supporting Transgender Day of Visibility? Like, who are some of the people that you're talking to and are excited about celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility this year?
Oh, we have lots of organizations who celebrate us. HRC.
Human Rights Campaign. Mm-hmm.
And, I can't think of it right now. Mara Kiesling's organization in Washington.
Yeah,
National Center for Transgender Equality.
Yes. And we have churches and so many organizations. I was really surprised about it. So many organizations all over the world. One year, the One Train Center Tower was lit up in our transgender colors.
Wow. That's neat. I haven't even been to New York City to see the new Trade Center. That must have been really impressive. Yeah. Did you see it?
I haven't either. So we are receiving support. In Ireland, they used Visibility Day to change policy to make Ireland more trans friendly.
That's great. Wow, especially for a country like Ireland. I mean, yes. Ireland doesn't seem like the most trans welcoming place I could think of in Europe.
Right, yes. It's really wonderful, and it makes me feel so. It makes me feel so happy that people have embraced it.
That's so great. And you started it.
I sure did.
That's wonderful. And I see that, when we were talking to you earlier about your personal story, I noticed that like you're back in a relationship with a woman again now.
She's trans like me.
Wow, that's great.
Yes.
And how's that going?
Oh, wonderful. Oh, wonderful. We've been together over 20 years. And we legally got married a few months after it became legal around here.
Oh, mazel tov. That's so great.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so wonderful. you know, it's too bad we didn't have you on. We just finished our transgender sex, love, and dating series. doing our interviews for that just a couple of weeks ago. Every year around Valentine's Day, we do a whole series of shows on transgender sex, love, and dating. And one of the topics that came up a lot in our series this year was, it was being in a relationship as a transgender person with another transgender person. And yes, a lot of people talked about how they really much prefer to be in a relationship with somebody who's trans or non-binary, because there's a lot more understanding of what it's like to be trans or non-binary.
Oh, yeah. We each know that the other one is completely accepting, and that is just a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey, Gina, it looked like you had a question.
Yes. Rachel, you know, we've spoken a lot about your original intent for starting the Day of Visibility, and that it has taken on a life of its own internationally.
Yes.
Which is, you know, wonderful. But I was wondering, have you ever, or are you aware of any kind of like annual themes? You know, I'm aware of other, you know, days and stuff where, you know, they will embrace a particular theme for the year or an objective for the year. Have you ever approached TDOV in that way, or are you aware of other places or organizations that have approached the day with a particular theme for the year?
I know that other organizations have, and I kind of have an unofficial theme for this year.
And that
is for allies to become more visible.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, I think that is also very important too. Because, you know, like I was thinking about with, you know, this is all going on at the same time that this whole super straight thing is going on, and people are all like, you're oppressing me if you try and tell me that I'm transphobic. And, you know, yeah, and it makes me think, this is when, you know, not just us trans people need to be more visible, but also our allies need to be more visible, and our allies need to, you know, have the courage to fight back and say, no, it's not okay to treat people this way. It's not okay to be bigoted. You know, we all need to be loving and accepting of each other, and, you know, trying to, you know, call your bigotry and your transphobia a new sexuality doesn't make it okay. And it's not a new sexuality. It is not a new sexual orientation. You're just trying to justify being a bigot and hurting people.
Right.
So I'd like to ask each of you a question then, starting with our guest. In alignment with the theme that you kind of have for Transgender Day Visibility this year, Rachel, what would it look like for allies to be more visible? How does that look?
Oh, it would be that they will educate others. It will be that at dinner parties and lunches, they could educate who they're with about being who we are. And through that, they create other allies. We need allies to create other allies. And we need allies to contact their local government and say, can you make a proclamation that the 1st, it is officially Trans Visibility Day. Allies can also write letters to representatives. Allies can also make donations. There are so many ways we want allies to be loud about it, to be loud and say, hey, I'm not trans, however, I feel that this is a wonderful thing.
Thank you. Jean and Nicolette, what about you? What would it look like for allies to be more visible and be, what does that look like for it to be a day where we ask allies to do something? What does that look like to you guys?
To me, I mean, you know, things that allies can do every day, not just on T-Dub, are, you know, kind of going along with what Rachel was saying, educating people about transgender issues and you know, what's really going on and how it works. And also, you know, stepping in and defending trans people when we're being attacked, and also just reaching out to, you know, trans people, their trans loved ones, and supporting them. As for things that allies can do specifically on T-Dub, I mean, the same way that, you know, a lot of us may make posts about T-Dub and, you know, celebrate being out and celebrate who we are, I think it's also important for allies to do similar things and, you know, post or whatever they want to do about trans people, about, you know, why they support them, why we should be supported, and why this day is so important for us and why it's so important for us to have our rights and equality.
We just want to thank our guest, Rachel Crandall Crocker, the founder of Transgender Day of Visibility, for joining us. And does anyone have any closing thoughts?
I'd like to hear, Rachel, specifically, how can others, you know, who may be listening to the show, where can they find more information about you, your organization, that kind of stuff?
Actually, on the website for Transgender Michigan, it is transgendermichigan.org.
Okay.
Great, thank you.
And all they need to do is to Google me. I'm all over Google.
Great. Well, thank you, Rachel. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show. And Nicolette, can you
come back?
Yes, please. Nicolette, can you close out the show? And
This has been Trans Positive with special guest Rachel Crandall Crocker, and we hope you have a good night, everyone. Happy Transgender Day of Visibility. Thank you.
Transgender people don't live here.
I've never met anyone who's transgender.
I swear I don't know someone who's transgender.
Transgender and non-binary people like me hear this all the time.
But according to the HRC Foundation, there are more than 2 million transgender people in the United States.
We live in every community across this country.
You might be surprised to hear that there are more transgender and non-binary people in the United States than there are
Starbucks, McDonald's, and Walmart locations combined.
In fact, if you put us all together,
there'd be more non-binary and transgender folks than the populations of DC,
or Nebraska,
or Maine,
or Idaho,
or West Virginia.
As a matter of fact, 15 states have a lower population than the amount of trans folks in the US.
So here are a few things to keep in mind.
You don't always know when a person is trans.
But we're your neighbors,
your coworkers,
your students,
your customers,
and even your friends and family.
We exist in every culture, todas las culturas, throughout human history.
And while we're more visible than ever before,
sometimes you just don't see us.
So when you hear about politicians pushing for discriminatory bills,
know this. These bills address problems that aren't even real.
Problems that don't actually exist.
But we do.
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 And we need your support.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Have you gotten your flu shot? It's never too late to protect yourself, your family, and your community against the flu. This year, it is more important than ever. Black and